Well, my name is Sami Rasuli, and we're at the north side of the beautiful city of Minneapolis. My home city by choice. And by the way, it's the sister city of my hometown, Najaf. And they became sister cities back in 2009, July 31st, 2009, when the Minneapolis City Council members voted unanimously. Yes, that was a big reward for my work and a nice gift given to me, to the community too. Well, I am an Iraqi American who feels that as I am Iraqi 100% and American 100%, that makes me 200% a human being. And that goes beyond all the labels, whether I am from this country, promoting this flag, this religion, or this sect. To be a human being, it's an acknowledgement that humanity is one, that the universe is one, and our creator is one as well. When I migrated seeking democracy and freedom, when our dictator, Saddam Hussein, addressed the people back in the 70s, asking them, if you are not with me, you are against me. I left. I felt there is no place for me in that environment. So I sought refuge in the Western Hemisphere here. I left Iraq in 1976. I was about 24, and at that time, I was a young man, but at that day, the following day of the attack on the Twin Towers that led to kill innocent people, I didn't want anymore to be a public person as a Muslim. I didn't want to go open my shop, Simbad's on Nicollet Avenue. I hated myself to be a public Muslim. Despite the fact I was a public figure already as a successful restaurant and shop and bakery keeper. I was written up by many local publications as well national publications. I was at the cover of Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, so I didn't want to go to open the store to operate at that place that I loved always. My wife and my kids said, Sami, you have no option except to go and operate at Simba because this is the only income we have. We need to survive, and you have to go. And I did, but reluctantly. When I got there, the workers and Simba's manager, Hayat Germanos, with her husband, who helped me running the store, she was the manager. They were waiting and were surprised why I was late. We opened the store, but I told Hayat, Hayat means life in Arabic. I told Hayat, I'll be back in the bakery. I don't want to be in the front. Take messages. I'm not here. Please. She said, okay. But about noon, she came running where I and her husband were baking in the back. And she said, Sami, there are two ladies in tears asking about you. So I rushed to the front, saw them from distance, didn't recognize their faces. Recognize their faces, but not recognizing their name. Long time, Simbad's customers. I approached them and asked them, what's going on? Why you're in tears? They said, we need time, some time, 5 minutes to talk to you. I told them, yes, sure, please sit down. We sat and one of them gave me a piece of paper where their names there, the home and phone number. They said, this is our contact info. We're worried about your life. Our home is yours. If you need a hideout, safe haven, we're are your sisters. We saw the news last night and we thought of you. We saw the news about a Mexican guy who was chased in New Jersey because he looked like a Middle Eastern. He was shot to death. And another guy in Phoenix, Arizona, who was just like you, a restaurateur in his restaurant like this, operating, but he wore a turban. He was Sikh, not a Muslim. He was shot to death as a reprisal what happened, for what happened yesterday. And we don't want you to get hurt. We thought about you, and we're here for this reason. They said, we are Jews from St. Louis Park. So they made me cry. And then I remembered the failed Boutros Ghali, who never explained to me what peace building was. But these two women explained it very clearly. And just they like slapped me in the face to wake me up and tell me, Sammy, begin your journey for peace. Since then, I start paying attention and thinking how to bring people together. So as I told you, they brought tears to my eyes. They were still weeping while speaking. I looked for Hayat, the manager. She was standing behind me in tears too, listening, because she was concerned that somebody from my family got hurt because the ladies, when they came first, crying. So I asked Hayat to bring us warm food so we can all share a meal together. Hayat is a Christian Moronite from Lebanon. Helped me with her husband, Tony, 17 years, to run Simbad's successfully. So in a few minutes, Jews, a Muslim, and a Christian were sharing food together. But wasn't that only? We shared our hopes, vision, thoughts, and we asked ourselves, how should we get over this crisis? And there was a brilliant idea, which I talked about, interfaith dialogue. So we formed a group called Jewish-Muslim Dialogue to meet and talk about everything except religion and politics. To meet and bring food as a potluck style. But most importantly, we decided to bring our kids with us so they learn how different people can live together, honor each other, accept each other, and share what they have together. As I said earlier, because I'm an American and Iraqi equally, and because I'm a human being above everything, when the war started against Iraq in 2003, I felt the war actually started within me. Sammy the American is attacking Sammy the Iraqi, and Sammy the Iraqi is reacting violently against Sammy the American. And it's a state of violence and war. So I couldn't take it, especially when I sit down in my living room receiving the news as we do now, watching what's happening in Cairo. I was watching what's happening in Iraq at that time, and the news was bringing me really sad news that hundreds and hundreds of Iraqis are killed every day. So I couldn't work at my place. I couldn't eat or sleep. Within 12 months, I decided to go back to do something as a way of healing. And I formed successfully the Muslim peacemaker teams in Najaf, where we could build ties between communities, extend bridges between Shia and Sunnis to remind them that we are one. And if the invasion and the agenda of the occupation should divide us, we should be aware of that and we should peacefully resist. We were anonymous. Anonymous means we didn't say who we are, but we started collecting garbage off the streets, main streets, in an area called Sab'a Nisan, cross street from Al-Furqan Mosque. So there, people, Fallujans, passing by, they stopped and saw something is happening they never seen during the last 2 years. That was in 2005. So 2004, 2003, there were no janitors or garbage collectors because the country was in chaos. So they stopped and asked, "Who are you? You don't look garbage collector." So we told them, "We are your sisters and brothers from Najaf and Karbala." And they broke down and hugged us. They kissed us and asked us to go and pray together. We did. Yeah, the city was Sunnis, mostly. But there were Shia there and were Kurds and Christians living there. Because Shia came to assure the Sunnis in Fallujah, telling them with solidarity action that we are one. We are united, we are one people, by collecting the garbage. And the Sunnis reacted, they said, "Don't touch that dirt, please. We got the message, let's go and pray together." So we did. After that, we ate together. It was a big feast they prepared for us. And I still remember one of the prominent leader of that beautiful city, Sheikh Qasim, told us, "I should tell you, you didn't bring something new to our culture, but thank you, you removed some barriers psychologically between us, because the occupation is trying to divide us, and we were not sure if already divided or not, but your visit approved the contrary. The opposite. We are not divided. So thank you very much for your visit." And the Sheikh Abdul Munim al-Kubaisi, the leader of that community, gave each delegate of us a gift, a copy of the Quran. And he gave us also 20 copies of the Quran. 10 goes to Imam Hussein Shrine in Karbala. And 10 copies of Qurans goes to Imam Ali Shrine in Najaf. So it was a nice celebration, whole day. It was very nice work. So that was one thing we did in Iraq, and we kept doing it with Rutba City, Ramadi, and Tikrit, and other cities across the country, as well the northern Iraq and Kurdistan. And also creating the Muslim peacemaker teams in Iraq inspired a group of people here. We're talking about Kathy McKay, who was very much interested to form the IARP as an echo for Muslim peacemaker teams in Iraq. And the IARP is an Iraqi-American Reconciliation Project that was founded to help to support the work of MPT in Iraq, the Muslim peacemaker teams, and also to reconcile between Iraqis and the Americans after the war and the destruction. So when Najaf and Minneapolis became sister cities, we were be able to bring delegates from Najaf to here and from Minneapolis to Najaf. For the last 2 years, one thing proved that that hosting, like Americans hosting Iraqis, just like infidels hosting terrorists, and when they sit down face to face, looking in the eyes, breaking that bread and Wisconsin cheese together, they found out the terrorist concept and the infidel concept just a stereotype. It's there is no place. It's a hoax, it's a myth, and we should continue to meet as people to people and implement the people to people diplomacy. Before I address other groups, I address my group, the Muslims and Arab, to break that psychological barriers that I am a Muslim. It's not enough. You are a human being too, so you have to relate to the others and have the first step to reach out and do this. Break the ice, break the fences that we always build around us, because we should have an identity. An identity is not for being different than the others and destroy the relationship between one and another. Unfortunately, the change I came for, it's becoming illusion, not by the experiencing the beauty and the decency of the people through learning about their hopes and their visions for the future, but by the application of the U.S. government that leading wars and leading fear, wars that base on fear from each other to break us apart. I came because I fled from a leader in Iraq told us, if you are not with me, you're against me. But after 25 years, I heard the same thing that I fled from in Iraq. I heard it here in 9/11 or after 9/11 when George Bush said the same thing, if you're not with me, you're against me. So when I headed to this hemisphere seeking democracy and freedom, I never thought I see the U.S., the most powerful country in the world when it comes in democracy and freedom, that lady of the liberty carrying in her right hand the light, the torch of freedom. Under that torch, we see, I hate to say it, fascism is stepping in. And I see lots of uncertainty that will happen in this country as a result of the U.S. policies, whether it's driven by the fear and applying the fear among the people here, which end up to divide them, and that won't serve the people, neither the country, nor the country. The recession is not over, and we still having many people losing their homes, losing their jobs, and they are not secured yet. And these are the challenges that I'm facing. And as an average Arab Muslim in this world, not only the economy that affecting all Americans, including us, the Arab community, Muslim community, but also we are getting scrutinized. And the reason, because unfortunately, the Homeland Security and other people who are in charge to secure this country are profiling us at the airport. So every time I am flying, I hate to be at the airport because I keep hearing the color of the security that day is orange and never change and still orange. Sometimes goes red, but most of the time is orange, and I wonder when it's going to go green. Maybe until Ralph Nader win the election and we become green. It's really painful for me, especially when my phone rings and I'm at the airport, and here's on the other end, on the line, phone line, my wife speaking Arabic, doesn't speak English, and I have to answer in Arabic. And when I speak in Arabic, that makes me nervous because I know people watch those who speaks in Arabic, because when you keep hearing this announcement at the airport saying, watch suspicion or suspected behavior. Don't leave your bags alone. Don't take any bag that doesn't belong to you. So suspicious behaviors, I assume, because we are under dog and watched. Well, I am on the watch list. Every time I go, they tell me you have to be clear. So it takes about 20, 25 minutes when I travel to Iraq or out of the country. They have to clear my name. So I'm already discriminated against. And when it comes to the security and searching and also, but when I speak in Arabic, so I start looking for a place to be away and not to be heard from others, so I won't be suspicious. But when people watch you going to a certain corner or far away from them, even you become more suspicious. So it's kind of a struggle. Those the challenges today the Arabs are living, witnessing, but should not scare us, should not put us speechless. We should come forward through the IRG and speak the truth and teach kids in the schools and adults as well, and the communities and the churches, tell them who we are without hesitation, and the most important thing, to integrate with the mainstream media and not to be isolated, and using all means to melt in that pot, not to lose our identity, but no, to prove who we are and to educate others about the principles of peace in the Islamic tradition.